The traditional media landscape in this country and beyond continues to shrink under the weight of digital disruption. In July, print and TV companies Fairfax and Nine announced that $4 billion merger that will not only erase the 177-year-old Fairfax family name from the Australian media landscape, but it's also raised questions about the future of quality journalism under the new structure. Meanwhile, the competition watchdog, the ACCC, is holding a world-first inquiry into the power of Google and Facebook, which have been criticised for draining advertising revenue from mainstream journalism. The rise of tech giants have prompted journalists all over the world to search for new business models to support their craft. Robert J. Rosenthal is a former US newspaper editor. He once ran the San Francisco Chronicle and the Philadelphia Inquirer. These days, and for some time now, he's executive director of the not-for-profit Centre for Investigative Journalism in the US, and he's here in Australia on a speaking tour sponsored by the Walkley Foundation. Robert Rosenthal, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
People have been predicting the death of mainstream media for decades now, Robert, and certainly many important newspapers have closed. Thousands of journalists have lost their jobs. But digital disruption hasn't killed quality journalism yet or investigative journalism yet, has it? I mean, in some places, I think it's fair to say it's flourishing. How is that happening? Who's doing it and who's paying for it?
Well, in the States, because of the tax laws, individuals and foundations can give money to nonprofit journalism organizations. And it's the Center for Investigative Reporting, not journalism. But we, for example, have, when I got there a little about 11 years ago, there were six people. Our budget was well under $1 million, and today we have over 70 people and a budget of over $10, $11 million U.S. And what's happened is that with the demise and the collapse of the business model of legacy media, especially newspapers in the States, many people and many foundations understand the role of the press in a democracy, and these organizations are nonpartisan. Our goal is not to make revenue. Our goal is public service journalism and exposing wrongs in society and drive change. And in the last 10 years, there's been an explosion of these organizations in the United States. And the key to their success is not acting individually, but collaboration and creating networks of sharing and really telling stories across all platforms.
Okay, so it's not about one media organization having an investigative team and going for it. It's about collaboration amongst journalists, is it?
Correct.
Or platforms?
Both. And for example, you know, we have a radio show called Reveal, a 1-hour investigative reporting show that's broadcast through the National Public Radio Network and on over 470 stations. A podcast that's downloaded, you know, a couple of million times a month. And we do video, and we'll work with CNN, we'll work with the Washington Post, ProPublica, another nonprofit, Frontline. These are all pretty well-known names. We've worked with BBC. On global stories, and really the model is driven by the stories and the ability of teams of journalists working together to do things they could not do for one organization.
And how and who is funding it? Is it philanthropic individuals, organizations? Who's funding it?
It's people who give, you know, $10 and people who give $1 million, as well as big American foundations, names you might recognize: MacArthur, Rockefeller, Carnegie, the Ford Foundation. But these foundations believe that for the United States, journalism is one of the pillars of democracy, and whoever is in power, investigative reporting has shown that, you know, for many, many years.
So is the funding tied to the type of story? I mean, you say public service journalism. What's the definition of that?
Well, it's journalism that really serves the public interest. In other words, driving results, and we use the term impact, and it's exposing wrongdoing at a government level, local level, corporate malfeasance, human rights violations. And the people who fund it, it's not funding a specific story. We would not take funding to do a story, say, about any individual or a politician.
Uh-huh.
It's what we call general support. It might be a broad category, say, the environment or human rights and women's issues, legal, you know, judicial reform. But you do not get funding in the States specifically to do an investigation about X or Y or Z or this politician. It's what we call general support that funds the work, funds the salaries of the journalists.
And in terms of measuring the impact, do you measure that by actual change, or do you measure that by the number of people reading, writing, listening?
Well, impact is not simply a number. In the old days, you know, you wanted eyeballs, and really, impact is change. You know, it's for us, we've done a lot of work, for example, on issues about veterans abuse. And you know, recently a Republican senator in Wisconsin, it was about opioid addiction of veterans. And, mm-hmm. you know, he literally put out a statement saying these problems would not have been exposed except for the work of the Center for Investigative Reporting. They're crucial in democracy. So it's nonpartisan, but it's a broad range of issues, and it's bulletproof. I mean, everything is transparent. Everything is sourced. We rarely use anonymous sources, documentation, a lot of data analysis. It's very sophisticated reporting, and obviously the big media companies, they do it as well. But in the States, is what's happened here is you really have business models for big media companies, and I believe that's different than journalism, that are driven by political point of view.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is Robert Rosenthal, executive producer at the Center for Investigative Reporting in the US. Have you seen funding increase for reporting since Donald Trump became president, or more particularly since he's labelled the news media the enemy of the state, accusing them of bias, and in some sectors, I think, led a backlash against the mainstream media?
Yes. There's been an increase in funding, and it was there. It was accelerating if you looked at a chart, you know, long before Trump took office. But there's no question that his attacks on the press and journalists have, for many people in the States, really made them more aware of the role and the necessity of a free press in the United States and around the world.
In this country, in the last week or two, we've had another prime minister toppled in pretty controversial fashion. And he and some in the media and others, when that happened, accused some parts of the media of getting involved and launching this attack and fueling this attack. And particularly talking about Sky News, which is, you know, runs on Foxtel, and also News Limited, owned by mm-hmm. Robert Murdoch. Do you have these same criticisms and the same dynamic? I mean,
well,
compared,
yes.
I suppose, the way Fox News operates in the States.
Yes. Yes, we do. And, you know, there's really the divide, and I just heard your last segment about Steve Bannon. The divide in the United States is very dangerous. It's an information divide. Historically, the worst, and you might argue the best leaders, basically take information and use it. And it's an incredible tool. And it's really, we're in a dangerous moment. The disinformation, you can call it fake news, is real. And the ability and the voice of and the merging of opinion versus fact has really confused the public. And I'm a little bit aware of what's happened here. And I think the personal role of some, not journalists necessarily, but opinion makers to get directly involved. You know, one of the leading guys on Fox News in the States, Sean Hannity, literally has dinner with President Trump, and there are stories about how they talk almost every day. So it's a propaganda machine. Mm-hmm. And when the business model is based on catering to your audience and only your audience, I think we're seeing the fruits of that, really, in a very diverse and very angry and fear-based political system.
I guess that brings us to the role of the consumer, and that's perhaps another conversation we can have another day. Robert, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Robert J. Rosenthal, executive producer at the Center for Investigative Reporting in the United States. He's speaking tomorrow night in Melbourne's Federation Square and Thursday in Sydney on a panel discussion hosted by the Walkley Foundation and Sydney University called Journalism's New Bottom Line, Impact.